This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last.
All right, the long-awaited cosmic view of what is a virus. I assure you, you've never heard this from the CDC. So let's begin with the Big Bang. Now, this is only going to be about 10 minutes or so. It'll be short, but it's going to be mind-blowing. So the Big Bang, according to scientists, created everything from nothing. All the matter in the universe came into existence spontaneously without cause. Of course, that's nonsense. There's no such thing as effect without cause. The Big Bang was created by, you could say, God. Some scientists believe an advanced AI civilization or an AI supercomputer. Or some advanced non-human super intellect of some kind, given lots of different names. But one way or another, an intelligent designer created our entire universe and brought it into existence. That's known as the Big Bang. Now, what's interesting is that all the things that you think are matter, i.e., physical material, it's all made of atoms, right? And the atoms are made of subatomic particles and so on. All of that is illusion. It's actually standing waves of energy, sort of organized energy into certain patterns. So there's no such thing as an electron, not a standalone spherically shaped thing called an electron. It doesn't exist. It's a probability wave. There are no such things really as protons, even though we can measure them. They exist as standing waves of energy. Same thing with neutrons. And the quarks and muons and everything else that's subatomic particles. These are all organized energy. But built upon those systems of organized energy where we have atomic elements, and then those atomic elements are structured into things called molecules. And then you are built of molecules. Your body is nothing but temporarily organized energy. Truly. I mean, literally. Because the energy is what makes up the subatomic particles that make up the atoms, that make up the molecules, that make up your body. So you are temporarily, I should say your body is temporarily organized energy. Now, all of that is fake. None of that stuff is real. The only thing that's real in your existence is your consciousness, which is the part that does not consist of matter. Since all matter is not real, and consciousness doesn't consist of matter, and consciousness is the real you, that's the interface between your body and your God, so to speak, or your higher existence. That's the part of you that's real. And your consciousness is projected into your body to create the illusion that you exist inside your head. It's all an illusion. Your body's like a surrogate. Now, the reason the illusion that you exist inside your head, your physical skull, the reason that illusion is so convincing is because, well, that appears to be the center of your sensory experience. Your eyes, for example, are mounted in the front of your skull. Your ears are mounted bilaterally. And so when you sense the world around you, or that is your consciousness senses it through the hardware of your brain and your eyes and your ears and your sense of touch and so on, it creates the illusion that you are some being inside your skull, because that's where a lot of the sensory information is processed. That's your point of view. When you turn your head, your point of view changes. So it seems as if you're in there. Trust me, you're not in there. You are just interfacing with your brain. And your brain is actually more of an antenna that can receive and broadcast rather than a computer or processor. And, you know, materialist-oriented scientists try to say that your consciousness is an emergent property, an illusion created by sufficiently complex neurology, creating the illusion of self-awareness. But you know that's not the case because you yourself are self-aware in a way that is actually self-evident, self-proving. I think, therefore, I am. You are a conscious being, and you are the only one in the world who knows that you are a conscious being because that is your experience from the inside. You can make choices. You can change your actions. You see, you hear, you feel. You are, in fact, Your consciousness is real, even if your body isn't real. Now, what does all this have to do with viruses? Viruses are the embodiment of disassembly code. So in this world of biology built on molecules, built on atomic elements, built on subatomic particles, all of which are standing waves of energy, literally, that's quantum physics, you know, string theory, that kind of stuff, or M theory, whatever, whichever theory verse that you believe in. But viruses are nothing but code. They aren't living. They're not bacteria. Viruses don't have any sensory input. They don't have any neurology. They don't have movement systems. They don't have flagella. They don't have sensory responses. Viruses are just code, fragments of code that wander around and happen to line up in a way that can break through cell walls. A little protein shell on the outside breaks through the cell walls, invades the nucleus of your cell, and then injects its own code into your cell so that your cell starts to replicate that code. It is self-replicating disassembly code. A virus is, you could say, the physical embodiment, the protein embodiment of disassembly instructions that disassemble units of biological matter. Viruses have no intention, no motivation, no survival, nothing. They aren't living, but they are ghosts in the machine. They're glitches in the matrix. They exist because they can, because your body is built on a system of instructions. The instructions show that you are a temporarily organized structural system of organs and cells and organ systems and blood and so on. But the way you know all of that isn't real is because it can be disassembled and reoriented into something else. All the elements that are your body can be disassembled and recombined to make a giraffe, for example. A giraffe is made of the exact same elements that you are. There's no difference in terms of the elements. So you could be disassembled and remade into a polar bear, literally, or a tree. Basically the same elements, a little bit different mineral composition, but essentially all the same elements from the same table of elements. Roughly about the same 40 basic elements is what everything living is made of, carbon-based life forms. So you see, you are not your body, because your body is just a temporary structure. It's just organized matter that will then be reused. When your body dies, the matter doesn't disappear. When your body dies, the matter is simply repurposed. All the carbon, the hydrogen, the oxygen, everything, all the elements, the phosphorus, the nitrogen, the, you know, everything, zinc, magnesium, it all gets repurposed. It becomes something else. And if you burn your body, like through cremation, then you get a pile of ash. What's in the ash? Minerals. And what was released when you burned the body? Well, other elements that went into gaseous form, such as oxygen and nitrogen and perhaps some sulfur and so on. None of the matter got destroyed. When you died, it didn't get destroyed. So what a virus does is it simply disassembles. So a virus is a force of chaos. It's a disassembly system that attempts to unstructure structured life. If a virus eats your body, though, does it eat your soul? No. This is a key point to understand. No virus can attack your soul, because viruses only operate in the physical realm of proteins and amino acids and RNA and, you know, instructions for protein synthesis in your cells. That's it. Viruses can't touch your soul because your soul isn't physical. So a virus can eat your body, but it can't eat your being. That's actually good news, because even if you think you're being killed by a virus, all it can take is your body. Now, of course, yes, your body is important to get things done in this world and perhaps express the true purpose of your soul. But your soul lives on. Your soul is immortal. Your soul actually goes beyond this entire realm, beyond the entire universe that was created by the Big Bang. You know, they talk about heaven or the afterlife. Heaven does not exist in this cosmos. It's not part of this material universe, which is a simulation. That was the actual original intent, was to create a universe, which is a simulation, into which consciousness can be injected, and your memory wiped, by the way, so that when you're born, you don't have a memory of actually where you came from, so that this test, this testing ground, can be an authentic test to find out who you really are, even if you don't remember where you came from. That's why this test, it matters. and your consciousness is injected into this test. And after your body dies, whether it's eaten by a virus or something else, your consciousness goes to a different realm, a completely different plane of existence, by the way, where time does not flow the same as time inside our cosmic universe created by the Big Bang. And that's why when people die and they come back, they often describe that it felt like they were there for an eternity, when in our world, it might have been just a couple hours. That's why they say you're going to burn in hell for eternity if you've sinned. Because people who have gone to hell and come back, so to speak, at least their consciousness, they described it as an eternity. Why is that? Because time doesn't flow there the same, because it's not part of our physical fabric of reality. It exists outside of all that, whether you call it heaven or I don't know, what are all the different terms for that in different religions or different even New Age belief systems. The flow of time is different outside this realm. And so, in fact, from that point of view, your entire life here is over in the blink of an eye. Everything that you are experiencing is taking place in a cause-effect universe that depends on the illusion of time in order for causes to have effects. And it depends on the illusion of matter in order for you to believe that you have a material existence. So that the illusion of the projection of your consciousness into your surrogate physical body is convincing enough to make you believe this is reality. That's the only way this can be an effective test, is if you think this is the real world. You wake up every day, you think that you live inside your body, that this world is real, and that's the test. It wouldn't be a test if it wasn't convincing. So you may say, well, what is the test? Well, a lot of theories on that, probably beyond the scope of this particular podcast, but a virus does not care who you really are. A virus has no moral objection to you or moral guidance. A virus is not part of the higher realm of spiritual consciousness and existence. A virus is a glitch fragment of this so-called physical world. A virus works because it can, because cause and effect was put into play. And because, you know, proteins and RNA and so on, they function in this system of cause and effect, which was created in order to create the illusion of physical reality. So I guess the bottom line here, I don't know how this helps you in a practical sense, but there are lots of different molecules that you can use to defend yourself against this virus. I've talked about them in other podcasts, natural molecules, spices, foods, superfoods, nutrients, and so on. All those molecules are illusion too, but they do function in this world, the simulation. The simulation works on cause and effect. The simulation respects physics and chemistry, and these molecules work through the laws of physics and chemistry to protect you from the virus. So as long as you're in this simulation, you might as well invoke the laws of the simulation and keep yourself safe and healthy, and we can teach you how to do that. But in the bigger picture point of view, even if you were to, quote, die from the virus, all it does is disassemble your body. It can't touch your soul. Your soul is bulletproof, as I've said before in many other podcasts. Your soul is the only thing that you take with you. And that's why your soul having a permanent record of your actions and what you decide to do, it's the most important thing to protect. And by the way, when you die, your Facebook friends don't judge you. Your Wikipedia entry doesn't judge you. Even the courts of the rule of law don't judge you. What judges you is the creator of the simulation, which is God. You and also you judge yourself with now having that God consciousness, that greater perspective of actually who you are and what this is and what you just went through. So you and God will judge you. Nothing else matters. Not even this virus. Not even if it kills everybody. Every soul will still be judged. You are temporarily tied to this body. You will eventually surrender it, and it will go back to the elements and the molecules from which it came. But your soul is eternal because it exists outside the time flow of this cosmos. That's why it's eternal. Interesting stuff. I'll try to cover more of this in the future. I've had a lot of people asking me these questions recently for some reason. I don't know. People are realizing there's something wrong with this world. There's a glitch in the matrix, that something doesn't add up. Yeah, it's because it's not real, folks. This whole thing is an illusion. But your actions do matter, because your actions speak to your soul. And just some things to think about. Mike Adams here, The Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com for more podcasts and more videos. Thank you for listening.
be safe, be prepared. More importantly, be ready to graduate from this simulation, because that will happen one day, without a doubt, for each of us.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.